Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Max Cohen. In this episode, we're going to talk about the dramatic 2-1 Fulham win against Preston North End at Deepdale. Fulham find a way to win once again with a goal from Alexander Mitrovic in stoppage time. That was his second. Fulham found a way to win. I sang it for the second time. I cannot wait to talk to my co-host about this, but before I do anything, I have to welcome him back to the show. Max, how are you doing right now?
Ross, you said before we went on air, you're going to have to resuscitate me. That was heart-stopping. What an unbelievable finish. What can we say? I mean, I'm almost out of words for this Fulham team. And after another late winner, it just seems that all they can do is win. And listen, no one's complaining now. This is one of the most special runs I've ever seen from a club ever, you know? There's just such a – I said it last week after the Sheffield United match. There's a special feeling around this club, and it just keeps getting more and more special. Just savor this moment. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. There's something different going on, Max. When you win matches like this, Brighton Hove Albion did it all of last season. They would win a match like this, just finding a goal, finding a way to beat their opponent. They might not play the best, but they got all 3 points. That's what you have here. This is dramatic, and obviously we are excited, but I keep looking at this and saying they're finding different ways to get all 3 points, and this is one that I did not see coming at the very end. You and I were talking off air that when we went into stoppage time, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'll be happy with a point, and let's just get the point. Let's get out of there and get a point, and if we got all 3 points, that's fantastic. But I was just, at that point, thinking to myself, okay, we're going to get a point here, and then that all changes with a goal from Alexander Mitrovic. It's unbelievable, my friend. Let me just get right to you. We are recording this about 25 minutes after the match ended, so it's really fresh with us. What's going through your mind right now?
Alexander Mitrovic is Pavel Pogrebniak 2.0. Listen, with that start, I mean, the start he's had is unparalleled for a Fulham player. And the reason I talk about Pogrebniak is he's the only striker I can imagine who we signed in January who just hit the ground absolutely running. And he's proving the point that he is that missing piece in the jigsaw puzzle. And each week you hear Newcastle just looking like, what were they doing? It makes them look even more and more foolish. So they loaned, let's be honest, Chris Wilder said it, Sheffield United manager, after the match on Tuesday. He's a Premier League player.
Oh, that's, he is.
It's simple as that. He is much too good for this division. But at the same time, this whole Fulham team right now looks much too good for this division. 15 matches unbeaten. Alexander Mitrovic, 2 goals today. Probably one of the most important goals of the season, because having that in the 92nd, 91st minute, when it looked all along that Preston were going to be the more likely to go on and win the match, shifted momentum and has gotten us out of this tough stretch. Let's just take a look back and out of this whole 6-game stretch that everyone said, this is going to be rough. It's 5 wins and a draw. That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, Max.
It's unbelievable.
You're talking 16 points out of 18 from 6 matches that we thought were the most difficult stretch of the end of the season, the second half of the season. And they got 16 out of 18. That is amazing.
It's almost, we were running out of adjectives to describe this run, because I don't think anyone thought it could be this good. You know, I remember there was a poll on Twitter at the outset of this, after the Bolton match. And there were the guesses, like, how many points do you think Fulham are going to pick up from these next 6 matches? And, I mean, I was optimistic in saying, like, the 13 to 16 range. And I thought, well, you know, it's classic Max being optimistic. That would be the dream. And we've only gone 5 wins in a draw from the best teams in the division. It really beggars belief. And at this point, having really crested that hill, in my opinion, it's all downhill from here. If you look at the teams we play, the best team we play in this, the best two teams are going to be Millwall and Brentford. There's only one team in the top 10 there. And the rest of them are down at the bottom of the table. And these are teams we're neck and shoulders above. And we're already sweeping away teams at the top of the table who are very quality. I can only imagine what we're going to do to the Sunderlands, the Birmingham Cities, the Norwiches, the lowly teams in this league, you know?
It's unbelievable, Max. And listen, I said this to you off air, and I'm going to ask you again. Could this have been the toughest victory Fulham have had against the toughest opponent that had played against them? Meaning, listen, I understand that they beat Wolves, they beat Aston Villa, they beat Derby County, they've beaten a bunch of teams this season. But they were going against a team that was in a very good run of form. They were at home. They, again, played well the first time against Fulham. I think this is the toughest 3 points Fulham have had. Do you agree or disagree on that?
I think it's definitely a good shout, because we said in the preview show that Preston were not going to let us play. They're going to pressure us, and they're going to give us a hard time.
They might not be the best team, but they might be the toughest opponent for Fulham to beat this season, going up against them. Because, again, Wolves are much better. Talent-wise, we know the difference in talent-wise, Max. I'm just talking about how they played against Fulham.
Yeah, for sure. They went out there, and listen, they really unsettled us, I think, for much of that first half. And even in the closing stages, they were the team that was on the ascendancy. They were pressuring us. They were on the front foot. And we had to weather that storm in a major way. And when coming out of there 3 points, that's a tough place to go. We knew Alex Neil's side would be very well drilled, very aggressive, very tenacious in the challenge. They certainly were all of those things. And to have that kind of smash and grab, like last minute winner victory, I think would make it one of the tougher matches. I said the Barnsley match earlier on, because that was another match we had to really weather a storm, and then we grabbed a late winner, a late 2 goals there. And it was a similar style of play. But I'd agree with you that this pressing game was even tougher than that.
Right. And listen, I want to make this clear in case anyone comes to me and says, well, Russ, Wolves, Aston Villa. I'm not saying best team. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying toughest opponent to play against Fulham the way that they played against Fulham. That's the way I'm looking at it, especially where they played this match, how they got all 3 points. This was extremely difficult. They found a way to win. That's what makes this so rewarding, these 3 points. And Max, we're going to go through it in just a second. Before we do, let's start an hour before the match. You see the starting 11 and the 18 overall. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, again, with Ayite, was probably the biggest shout at right wing. That's really, I think that's the only thing Fulham fans can talk about, because that's really the only question mark in the squad. Of course, Adoy playing as well, with Kallas out for injury, but we knew that beforehand. So that big selection dilemma was settled with Ayite. And to be honest, I wasn't too like delighted with that. I'd said before that I fancied Piazon to start from the off, but I'll be honest, Ayite played a good game. I think he's a very dangerous player on his day, and we saw he had a long-range effort that was well saved. He can be dangerous, and I think he showed that he probably deserved that selection. And I think Slav rested him in midweek in order that he planned on starting him all along today at Preston. So that was the biggest team news before. And then another minor thing, which a lot of fans touched on social media, was that Niskin's Cabano didn't even make the bench on his birthday. It's his birthday, you know? Of course, you know, Slavisa is probably not that sentimental with things like that, but I think many would argue that regardless of the fact that it's his birthday, he probably deserved to make that 18-match squad, perhaps in front of Ruri Font in that position. But in the end, these things aren't very consequential if you keep winning, you know?
Right. Listen, I didn't have a problem with the starting 11 and the 18 overall. I just prefer, for me, Ojo. I just prefer him. He comes on late in the match, and we'll talk about him when we talk about the second half. But I can't fault Ayite, because, like you mentioned, Ayite played well. He had a nice shot on net. He really did. Had a chance to score. So I can't fault him. He's just, I guess, for me, Max, when it comes to Ayite, and people have problems with Ayite, I understand it. I would say it's consistency, not scoring enough goals. And I also think, for me, I was expecting a little bit more when he came to Fulham. I thought he'd be more of a goal scorer. But he is a little bit inconsistent when it comes to scoring goals. But you can't fault the effort. Max, would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all of these players in Fulham, that's one of the things that makes us such a dangerous team, is that no one's a luxury player at this point in the season. Everyone is working their socks off. Everyone is dedicated to the team effort. And even the players coming off the bench. We saw today with Cyrus Christie, Shea Ojo, and Piazon. I'd argue that all three of those substitutes had something to prove when they came on, and they definitely showed it.
Yep.
So I think, yeah, everyone's working hard, and certainly Ayite is always going to put in a very good shift, whether it's his tireless pressing, running down the wings, just always chasing loose balls. He offers that part of his game as well.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's get right into it. Let's go to the first half, and I want to talk about the opening stages. And we have to start by talking about how well Preston North End started this match because they were extremely dangerous. They had a couple of opportunities early on. You have the fifth minute shot by Robinson, and then you have the 13th minute save on a shot by Fisher by Marcus Bettinelli. But those opening stages, Max, let's just talk about it. I'm not going to say I was surprised that they would come out strong, but they were dominant for, I want to say, the first 15 minutes of this match.
Yeah, I agreed. And again, it was fairly similar to the Bristol City type of match, fairly similar to what we saw almost on Tuesday against Sheffield United, where the opposition started out very lively and pinned us back in the opening moments. Sean Maguire, particularly in those opening 15 minutes, was a danger man for me. He ended up getting the goal later on. But he's such a quick, you know, nifty little player who can cause a lot of defense problems. And you mentioned Robinson as well, was always a threat. And that 15 minutes was pretty nervy, but the key thing was we held firm.
You know, absolutely.
Donald did well to slide and cut out a couple of opportunities. Adoy, who I think was excellent all match, was very solid back there. And Bettinelli made a decent save from that Fisher shot in the 13th minute.
Yes, he did. Good point there, my friend. But the opening stages were nervy, and I was just thinking, okay, eventually Fulham are going to come into the match, which they did. And we now have to talk about a couple of Fulham opportunities. Let's start with the opportunity by Alexander Mitrovic in the 19th minute. His shot is cleared, and it was set up by Johansson. This is a good defensive recovery for Preston North End to take care of this opportunity because Fulham should have scored here, I think. And then just 2 minutes later, Fulham have a corner. This is all really from the same action. And then as a result from this corner play from there, Target has a shot that's saved by the goalkeeper. But these are two decent opportunities, Max. But the first one, thought they were going to score here.
Yeah, Dimitri's chance. I've watched this a lot, and I still can't quite figure out how he hasn't put this in the net. It was great play by Johansson to draw on that defender and then play it right across as soon as Mitrovic
was
free.
Do you think he should have shot it?
Johansson? I think that's actually a good point. I hadn't really considered that because we've seen him in those one-on-one situations be so calm and clinical in the past. The two chances that spring to mind are the Nottingham Forest match when he sealed it. That was a very similar chance to this.
Right.
And also the Cardiff match. So we know he has that really good one-on-one finishing, but I think the angle is very tight, and I think he made the right call to switch it to Mitrovic, who really has to score here. I know it bounced a little bit awkwardly up onto his thigh area, but it's an empty net, to be fair. I think he should probably score here.
It's tough because it's hard to criticize Alexander Mitrovic after he scores two goals. Yeah. But this was a really good opportunity by him that unfortunately he did not score on. And I want to give a little credit to Preston North End for them having the ability to clear that ball, because if they don't, then obviously Fulham go up 1-0 at that point. All right, then we're going to talk about there's a shot by Fordeite a minute later, and then you have a shot by Alexander Mitrovic in the 37th minute. Now let's go all the way to the situation in the 40th minute as Maguire has a great opportunity to score. Okay, let's just talk about how Fulham ended the first half. What were your thoughts about how they came into the match and going into the second half? Were you feeling good coming out of that first half?
I mean, I was glad that we went in at halftime at 0-0 because it was a clean slate. And then I thought, we'll make some impact substitutions, maybe get Piazon, Ojo on there. And then we can really push on in the final closing stages. And that's in the end what happened. You know, we came out of the second half quite well. Aita had that wonder strike. And you're thinking, okay, this is when Fulham is really turning it on. So I was really pleased that we kept in there 0-0, especially considering how rough the early goings were.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's now go to the second half, and there's obviously a good amount of action here. We have a good amount to talk about. Do want to mention that to start the second half, Preston North End made a change. Callum Woods comes on for Cunningham, so we have that situation. And then let's talk about the shot by Fordeite. We've already talked about this. To me, was a very good opportunity by Fulham early on in the second half, Max, 48th minute. I want to get your thoughts on the shot by Aite, which was saved by the goalkeeper here for Preston North End, Rudd.
Yeah, Rudd did really well because it doesn't look like there's much on when Aite picks up the ball really 40 yards from goal. But I think it shows his confidence, which is a good thing to see considering he hasn't been in that great form of late. But he still has the confidence to let rip from the best part of 35 yards out. And that left-footed strike, that was airing right in the top corner. That's a superb save.
It was.
And you can hit him from distance, you know, as we, of course, we saw against Villa. And, of course, he scored that goal against Barnsley, which was outside the box as well. So he does have that kind of long-range threat that I think teams might underestimate. They don't necessarily see him as a great striker of the ball, but he really is. That was a really nice strike.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Next, I want to mention that Lucas Piazon comes on for Fortaleza in the 59th minute. And then we have the substitution. Christie comes on for Fredericks, Cyrus Christie, in the 67th minute. So we have these two substitutions. And I want to get your thoughts on Fulham's play up to this point in the second half. Were you feeling that Fulham were gaining a little bit of control of the play? I thought it, even early on in the second half, Fulham were starting to get a foothold in this match. Not that they didn't in the first half, but I thought that Preston North End were controlling more of the play. I thought early in the second half, Max, I think we were starting to see Fulham having a little bit of control of the play. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we did a little bit better at the outset of the second half, but in that period, kind of in the 10-minute period after Pizon came on, before Christie came on, there wasn't really that much going on. You know, the game kind of settled down. There weren't too many chances for either side. And it was almost lulling towards that kind of nil-nil period, which is why I was really happy that Jokanović brought on Christie. I thought it's great to have those kind of options coming off the bench. And we know Christie is very good going forward. And he made that instant impact just, you know, minutes later, which really paid off.
He did. But let's go back to that. So you were in favor of him making that change at that point. I'm a big Ryan Fredericks fan. I'm thinking at the time, why is he doing this? But yeah, you know, it obviously paid off.
Yeah, listen, I love Ryan Fredericks as well. But I think he's played a lot of matches recently. Everyone's tiring a bit. And when you have some of Christie's quality, I'm very in favor of getting him in whenever we can. For sure, I think Fredericks should be the starter. He's earned that spot. There's no question about that. But in these kind of matches, when it's finally poised at 0-0 and you need a bit of a spark, Cyrus Christie's your guy. And I'd wager that his delivery is probably slightly better than Fredericks. The one part of his game which I'd say, you know, he's superior in that sense. We saw it against Bristol City with that lovely pass of the season in the Bristol City match. And then again today.
Yes.
And not only the pass, but just the strength, you know.
Yep.
He threw that the Preston defender to the ground. Just so strong and really such a dangerous ball in.
Absolutely, Max. And that's going to lead us to talk about the first goal of the match by Fulham in the 69th minute. It set up beautifully. And you're already talking about how Cyrus Christie did it in this pass. Sets up Mitrovic. And he scores to make it 1-0. Thoughts on the goal here?
Yeah, first of all, very good touch from Kane just to guide it into Chrissy's path. A strong arm leaves the pressing defender on the ground. And by that point, when Chrissy's through on the byline, I love how calm he is. You know, some defenders might just kind of whip that in as soon as they beat the defender. What he did, what I loved, is he controls the ball, takes that extra couple touches, takes it to the byline. And then when he's in that kind of calm position where he can see the play much better, fizzes it in, right into the run of Mitrovic, who, of course, when he's in those areas, he just does not miss, usually. A very, very cool finish. And you love the celebration with all the players piling on top of Mitrovic. He runs into Christie's arms. That's team spirit right there. You love to see that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. It's the 69th minute, Fulham just score. Are you feeling really good at this point? Do you think that we're going to hold on? Or were you still extremely concerned, like me, that Preston North End would get an opportunity to equalize? Hindsight, they obviously did. But at that time of the match, did you think that we could hold on for 1-0, or were you as worried as I was?
It was a bit of both, you know, Russ, because in this amazing run we've had, we've really not been pegged back in many situations. When we get that first goal, more often than not, we go on and get the second goal.
That's right.
And we've also made a habit of keeping clean sheets. So on that side, you know, I'm optimistic, I'm feeling good. But on the other end, as you mentioned, Preston looked dangerous. And when you're away from home and you're up 1-0 in the closing minutes, you just know they're going to get one more chance.
Right.
And that's all it took, really.
And that's why I was nervous. It really had to do with the opponent, Preston North End, because they really were dangerous for a good portion of this match. And I thought they would get another opportunity. And even though Fulham had played well defensively, in so many of these matches, all these clean sheets, I thought that this team could find a goal, which they did. But before that, you have the save. Shortly before the goal by Preston North End, by Marcus Bettinelli. And I thought, okay, here we go. Marcus Bettinelli steps up, makes the save. And then you have the goal by Maguire shortly after that. So let's talk about the goal. I've watched it several times. Should Marcus have done better here? Are we being too critical? Your thoughts?
I think it's twofold, you know. The fact of the matter is, Sean Maguire is very open in that box. And he's really right. The initial cross went right over Ream's head. And Adoy, to be fair, is kind of in no man's land. He's not marking really anyone. There's also a man free at the back post. It wasn't great marking from Fulham. But the header itself, it's on target, but it's not a great powerful header. It's not really in the corner. Benelli got two good hands on it. He just parried it right into the into the side netting, right into that corner of the goal.
Yeah,
I think that's unlucky. I think, yes, he should have done better. But listen, these kind of things happen in football.
Yeah, they do.
And people can say, listen, if Budden made this mistake, everyone would be on his back. Possibly. But I think considering how impressive Benelli has been in this run, I think he's due a mistake, and luckily it didn't hurt us too bad in this match.
Thankfully. But I think we're both in agreement that it was a mistake. He could have done a little bit better here, obviously, because he got both of his hands on it, like you mentioned, Max. And if you do that, you should be able to keep it out. Unfortunately, it's 1-1, but you also have to give credit to Maguire, who was dangerous throughout the match. And we talked about him in the preview show. I talked about him with my friend James Vickers. You know, that is their danger man right now. He is very dangerous, and he scored a goal. And so at that point, the match is 1-1. And then we have a couple substitutions for Preston North End, and then you have a substitution for Fulham. Ojo comes on for Sessegnon. And we've already talked about this, but let's go right back to it. We get to stoppage time, and I'm thinking, okay, happy with a point at this point. Let's hold on for a point. If we can find a way to get all 3 points, that's great. But I'm thinking about how this match has gone and how difficult this match has been. I was content with a point. I know that doesn't sound good, Max, but at that point, I'm thinking, let's just get out of here and at least get a point out of this. Well, thankfully, the Fulham players aren't listening to me because they found a way to get the victory. And this is set up beautifully from Tom Kearney. And Mitrovic does the rest, scores his second goal, and gives Fulham all 3 points. Let's talk about the winner, Max, from Alexander Mitrovic.
Special, special moment. It was just nearing the end. You felt probably maybe our last chance of the game. Kearney, great run just to get there. And he lofts that ball up. There's no pace on the ball, but it's into a great area. And that wand of the left foot can produce some special things. But even more special was that header. The leaning back, going away from goal header, he powers it right back across in the corner. And one thing, the movement that Mitrovic did just to create that inch of space in order to get that free header is superb. He actually makes the pressing defender slip because it's such a quick movement. It's a precise move, and the header is so delicately placed. There's absolutely no pace on it, but it's just so well positioned into that left corner. The keeper bounced right over his hands, and it was an amazing feeling. And gentlemen, Jim, that commentary, I'd say, was almost as epic as the Ayite's goal against Norwich.
You have to hear that if you haven't heard
it. You have to hear it. It's a special, special moment for Fulham fans. And it's something that happens in this season that you just felt. We have to cherish these type of moments. This is a truly remarkable run. And we can just all say we're lucky, very, very lucky to be witnessing this.
I agree, Max. And what's interesting about all this, you said something on the last show that stuck with me, and I'm going to mention what that was. You were talking about enjoying this season. Enjoy these moments. Enjoy all of these wins. Because we do want to get back to the Premier League. We absolutely want to get back there. And I truly believe we will get back there. Hopefully it's going to be at the end of this season. We're not going to be on any winning streak like this, Max. Like we are right now. We're not going to be having that type of success that we're having right now when we get back to the Premier League. And I said when we get back, because I truly believe we will. So I agree with you. I think this is something that we need to be really looking back and thinking this is a special time, Max.
For sure. And I think if you ask any Fulham fan, would you rather be battling for survival in the Premier League or battling for promotion in the Championship, I think everyone would take the Premier League in a heartbeat. That's where we want to be. Fulham's a Premier League club, as simple as that. But you know, we're not going to get moments like this. And I'm really glad you brought that up because it's true. It's a very rare, as Fulham supporters, where we go into a season thinking we legitimately have a great chance to win every single match. And that's how we feel right now.
That's right.
And that's a special feeling that not many clubs have in England. And we're one of the lucky few right now. Longest unbeaten run in club history. longest unbeaten run in all of England right now. It's pretty special to be a part of.
Absolutely, my friend. And listen, just to get this victory is special, and that goal was incredibly special. And I'm going to enjoy this one. I'm glad that we're doing this show. Like I mentioned, we started recording this about 25 minutes after the match ended, and we're still, as you can hear in our voices, pretty excited. And so I enjoyed going through this match with you, my friend. But let's now look at the stats. And I'm going to do this two ways. I wrote down the halftime stats. So let's now go back and let's look at the halftime stats, and then I'll give you the full-time stats, and let's see what we can learn from them. Here are the halftime stats. They're very interesting. Possession, 55% in favor of Preston North End to Fulham's 45%. Total shots were even at 4, Max. On target, even at 2. Corners were in favor of Fulham 3-2. This is the one that sticks out to me. Passing accuracy. Preston North End was at 73%. Fulham was at 72%. Aerial duels were in favor of Fulham 14-10. And finals were in favor of Fulham 5-2. These are just halftime stats. Does that tell you anything about that first half?
Yeah, that's a perfect representation to show how well Preston executed their game plan. No one keeps Fulham to 45% possession. That's unheard of.
45%. That's why unheard I wanted of. To go back and talk about it.
And the stat you mentioned about the passing accuracy.
Look at the passing accuracy.
72. Listen, we're the team that prides ourselves. You know, that is our thing. That is our mantra in the league, is that we pass well and we keep the ball. And to hold us to 45 and 72, those are really impressive stats from a Preston point of view. And I think that really backs up your point that this was the toughest win of the season.
That's why I thought it would be a good time to bring up the stats. Maybe I should have done it before we went to the second half, but I thought if we're going to talk about stats, we have to look at this in a whole, and we have to look at what the first half looked like. Now I'm going to give you the full-time stats, and let's see what we can learn from them. Here they are. And the first one's glaring. Possession in favor of Fulham, Max, 52% to 48%. These are full-time stats. Total shots were in favor of Preston North End, 11-9. On target, even at 5. Okay, corners, 8-6 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 26-25 in favor of Preston North End. Okay, here's the one that's going to stick out as well. Passing accuracy, Preston North End were at 69%. Fulham, 73%. It did not go up that much, Max. Think about that. Aerial duels, 29-24 in favor of Fulham. And fouls, 7-6 in favor of Preston North End. Okay, what do the full-time stats tell you about this match? Can we learn something if we look at it as a whole?
Yeah, I think we barely edged in front of the possession stats. And I'm not sure, but this might be one of our very lowest possession statistics of the entire season, which again shows how tough of a match it was. And the persistent fact that the passing accuracy still remained in that low 70s is, again, pretty remarkable, considering how we're normally in the 80s, high 80s, you know?
That's right. So,
especially the just the juxtaposition between the midweek really stroll against Sheffield United 3-0, where we played them off the park, 64% possession, whatever, 80-odd percent passing accuracy, versus today, where really just 52-48 possession, very even, and we barely made 75% of our passes. That is a really big change. But you listen, another thing about Fulham, we win in different ways.
That's right.
We can do the 3-0 at home.
Finding ways to win, my friend.
And again, and we find this way to win. Gritting out, last-minute header. It's special. It's a special year.
It is. And that's why I'm glad that we're talking about it in this way. Because I've watched other teams and other sports find ways to win. And I know when it's a special season. Because this is usually the marker of it. Different ways winning games, matches. And that's what Fulham are doing right now. And that's why we should be looking at it and thinking about this season as special. All right, my friend. Let's now go through some player ratings from Get West London. Let's see if they match up with your thoughts. These are going to be interesting. They were just released, so these are on Get West London's site. So let's start with goalkeeper. Marcus Bettinelli is given a 6, and this is what it said. Made some important stops in the first half. Horrible mistake to allow Maguire's header to squeeze by him. So that's the commentary from Get West London on Marcus Bettinelli's performance. Agree or disagree with the 6?
Yeah, I always love when right before you say the name, I think of a number. and it matches up perfectly. I was thinking six right before you said that, and I think that's fair. You know, you can't give someone too high of a rating if a mistake they make directly leads to a goal, and unfortunately that's what happened. But a six is, it's not terrible, but definitely not his best performance, but good enough to get a 3 points.
Okay. Let's now go to the defense. I'm going to give you all four here. Let's start with Ryan Fredericks, 7. This is what's said. Made good use of the wings and looked the man that was going to provide today. Jokanović decided to use the attacking threat of Christie with 20 minutes left. Ream, 7. Another solid performance. Was comfortable in the middle and dealt with the threat of Maguire and Barkhuizen well. Adoy, 7. A few mistimed jumps meant Sean Maguire was thrown on goal a few times. Really good performance in the second half. Target, 7. His usual performance. Solid at the back and showed up front, although his final ball into the box could have been better. They all get 7s. Agree or disagree on any of these?
I think that's a bit harsh for Dennis Adoy. He's one of my main contenders for man of the match. I'd give him at least an 8, maybe even 8.5. I thought he was remarkable today. And I think Tim Ream probably deserves a 7.5. His crucial challenge just before we scored the winner was very vital for us getting that 3 points. So I think it's a bit harsh for the defense, considering they only conceded one goal, and that goal was really mainly Bettinelli's fault.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's go to the midfield 3. These are interesting. Let's start with Kevin McDonald, 8. A really good showing in front of the back four once again. Was always in the right place at the right time to mop up the second balls. Kearney, 6. Pearson allowed him no time on the ball, but he started to dictate play more as the game went on. I totally agree with that part. Johansson, 6. Didn't have the best of performances and wasn't his usual bullish self. Looked better in the second half, but it wasn't the performances we've seen in recent weeks. Okay, that's 8 for McDonald, 6s for Kearney and Johansson. Agree or disagree with these ratings?
I think just on the basis that Kearney delivered that pinpoint assist for Mitrovic's goal, I think he has to get at least a 7 for that. I agree he was definitely put under a very tough time by the press in midfield, wasn't allowed his usual space, but I think a 6 is pretty harsh. To give him the same ratings as Bettinelli, I think that's a bit unfair. And Johansson, I wouldn't give him a 6. I'd probably give them 7s. And I agree with McDonald. I thought he was very good. And an 8 is fair.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's now talk about Ryan Sessegnon and Florida Yite. Sessegnon, 7. This is what was said on Get West London. Was unlucky not to get the boot to the ball and score in the first half, but it was another fairly quiet game from the youngster. Ayite, 6. Looked better in the second half and got on the ball more, causing problems. He gave the ball away sloppily a few times and was taken off with half hour left. Okay, Sessegnon, 7. Ayite, 6. Agree or disagree?
I just want to touch on Sessegnon for a moment. I think he's tiring. I think he's tired at this point of the season. And I think it was a pretty remarkable decision for Slavisa to take him off. You know, Sessegnon very, very rarely gets substituted in matches. And I think that's kind of showing now that he got subbed off. Even if it was only 7 minutes to go, it wasn't the biggest of substitutions, you know. But it is showing that I think just a consistent playing time. And he's been our most consistent player all year. He's had so many minutes under his belt at only being 17 years old. I think it might finally be starting to take a toll on him. And I'm not saying rest him, but I'm saying I don't think we're gonna expect the same kind of like barnstorming performances, you know, maybe the Sheffield United away performances. We're not going to see any more hat tricks from him coming in the closing stages because it's just simply so much game time. He hasn't really lit us up as we expected. And that's taking nothing away from him. I mean, he's still only 17 years old and has scored, is our leading goal scorer. So I'm not criticizing him by any stretch of the imagination. Just saying we might have to lower some expectations for Sessegnon in the future.
Okay, and Ayite, any thoughts on
that? And Ayite, I think 7 would probably be more fair for him.
Okay. Let's now talk about Alexander Mitrovic. Get West London gives him an 8. Wasn't as involved in the game as he has been in previous matches.
Tough rating.
Much better in the second half with his hold-up play and got the 2 goals. They give him an 8.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to give him a 10, but to me, he scored the brace. He scored the last-minute winner. I think that's at least a 9. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
8.5.
Eight and a half. That's diplomatic. It's a good host answer.
What's interesting about him is I do understand where Get West London is going with this, because he, again, was not one of his better games. And I believe the last match they gave him a 9. So I think that was part of the reason behind it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going with an 8.5.
Yeah. Can't argue with that.
That's my answer.
I think for me, when I'm judging player ratings, what I'm looking at for most part is the contributions to the goals, because those are what matters most to me. So that was probably why I'd say Kearney's higher and Mitrovic is a bit higher. But overall, I think very fair. Yeah.
Okay. Let's now go to the subs. Ojo was barely on, so we don't really need to talk about him. But let's talk about these two subs. I want to start including them in our ratings as well. Piazon is given a 6 by Get West London. This is what it said. Did well in between the lines and gave Fulham an extra outlet when going forward. Do you agree with 6 for Piazon?
Yeah, I think 7 would probably be more accurate. I thought he was effective. Didn't really shake up the game too much. But yeah, I think 6-7 around that range was fair.
Okay.
It's always tough when you're coming in as a sub. You don't always have much time to influence the match.
Okay. And let's go to Cyrus Christie. Get West London gives him a 7. Came on and provided a lovely assist down the right for Mitrovic's goal. A really inspired sub by Jokanović. We've already talked about it. So do you agree with 7? Or should it be higher or lower?
A bit higher. But I agree 100% with the description. I think that description warrants probably an 8. But yeah, that's what I feel. It was definitely an impact sub. And when you put someone on and he goes on a great run and whips in a brilliant ball for the goal, I think that's the manager's dream.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's now talk about Slavisa. He had some very interesting decisions to make here. We've already talked about the substitutions. So give him a rating from 1 to 10 on how he handled this match.
Yeah, for me that's a 9. I thought he was very, very, very good. The subs particularly. That Christie sub, I think it was gutsy, and I agree that fans think, you know, why take out Fredericks? He's been one of our best players all season. And I definitely agree with that, but sometimes you need a kind of gutsy call to shake it all up. And when he came on, he proved the difference. As well as putting on Ojo and Piazon, I thought those were pretty impactful subs. And listen, when you go and play a team like Preston and you come out with a win, a tough place to go. I think a lot of credit to the manager.
I totally agree with that, Max. All right, we didn't really say, so let's go back here. This is a Goldman for the show. I always like mentioning my mistakes here. We didn't give man of the match. Who's your man of the match?
Man of the match, it's a tough one between Odoi and Mitrovic for me. Gentleman Jim certainly was saying Odoi. I'm going to have to go Mitrovic. When a man scores, you know, 7 goals in 5 games, he scored a brace in his past 2 matches. You love to see that. And with that important winner, the passion you see in both of those celebrations, you love that. I think he's my man of the match, without a doubt.
Okay, well, he's mine. And listen, we could talk about him not looking like he was at complete fitness yet, and maybe that is true, but he gets paid to score the goals, and he keeps scoring the goals, and especially in dramatic fashion like this, he's my man of the match. I think he was my man of the match the last match as well, and I cannot go against Alexander Mitrovic, but I also want to mention Dennis Odoi and Kevin McDonald. Kevin McDonald, so far, is my player this season, Max. That's just how I feel about McDonald. I think he's, again, just a player that flies underneath the radar for the job that he does, which is extremely important. So I'm going to give him an honorable mention there along with Odoi, but I'm going to give my man of the match to Alexander Mitrovic. All right. Very good there. Excellent show, my friend. I do want to mention that our co-host, and I should have mentioned this at the beginning, Yanis Shanaeus, he is away on holiday. He's in the Dominican Republic. So, Yanis, if you listen, I hope you're having a great time. I know you enjoyed this match, and you'll be back next week. But just a little shout-out to our co-host, Yanis Shanaeus, who probably did a lot of impressions of Mick McCarthy while he's down in the Dominican Republic. Max.
Yeah, and listen, I've gotten tons of feedback from my friends and family who listen to the podcast.
Yep.
Everyone's raving about that Mick McCarthy impression. even people who don't even know who Mick McCarthy is said that was hilarious, and I just loved it. So credit to Yanis for that. I hope he's really enjoying the sun and the beaches down in the Dominican Republic.
I hope he is. I heard from him. He's excited, and he's looking forward to coming back on the show next week, and obviously we'll have him back next week. But Giannis, if you are listening, please do enjoy your holiday, and today probably was a good day for you, and just enjoy the rest of your holiday. All right, Max, before we go, we've really done a great job of talking about this huge Fulham win here. Just final thoughts before we go.
Cherish this, Ron. Soak it up. Savor every moment, because this is a once, I'm not going to say once in a lifetime, but really once in a decade kind of performances from Fulham. There's been a lot of heartbreak, a lot of joy about being a Fulham supporter, but this is definitely one of the highlights. This is what we always thought would happen when we got relegated in 2014. Yeah. We always thought the championship would be fun, and we're finally getting the joy out of it we truly deserve.
Took a long time.
Yeah, it's a month and a half left in the season. Let's just make the most out of this. 9 matches to go. I said it before. I'm going to say it again. I don't see another team beating us. And I've just been vindicated the last 2 matches. I know it's wildly optimistic. I know it's probably not going to happen. But, hey, that's football. You just got to hope sometimes.
Right. Well, what's interesting about this, and I understand the situation with the table and us talking about second place. And all Fulham can do, Max, is just keep winning. Just keep winning and keeping the pressure on. Just keep getting all 3 points, and we'll see how things shake out in the end. And I think this is the toughest stretch of the second half of the season. If you look at the opponents, you talked about the opponents after this match, and these are all winnable matches. These are teams that Fulham can beat and in many cases should beat. But there are some London derbies mixed in there, so you know what happens with London derbies. They can be extremely difficult, but if you're just looking at the opponents where they are on the table, we've now gone through our toughest stretch, Max. So let's just think about that. That'll be my final thoughts, is that we came out of this stretch of 6 matches. Just think about this. What was your prediction for the amount of points in these 6? It's a maximum of 18. Fulham came out with 16. Think about that. It's amazing, Max. And those are my final thoughts. Any thoughts on what I just shared there?
Yeah, we came over this hill. We crested this hill in even better form than when we started this
crazy
run. It's not 4 wins in a row for us. And these Wolves, Derby, Sheffield United, Preston.
Yeah.
Some of the toughest assignments in the league. And we've passed with flying colors. Listen, and now it's on to the teams in the lower half of the table.
That's right.
Like everyone says, there are no easy matches in the
championship. No, there aren't.
But if there are easier matches, those are certainly ones we have ahead of us. We've played the harder ones. We've played all the top teams. And one thing to keep in mind, a closing thought, all the top teams, all the teams in the top 6 except us, now they have to play each other.
That's right.
They're going to be playing each other. Example today, Wolves versus Villa. Someone's going to slip up. Someone's going to be slipping up. And if we just do our part and win, that's all we can hope for. Listen, I think we can take advantage of that.
That's a good point, Max, and that's what you're going to be seeing the rest of the season. When you look at the opponents for the teams that are around us in the table, some of them have to play each other, and that will affect the results. And all Fulham can do, we keep saying, is keep winning. Just keep winning, keep the pressure on, and let's see how it all ends when we get to the very end of the season. But this is something special. We've come through this tough stretch with 16 points. It's amazing to think about that. It really is. And I just think that we need to be enjoying this Fulham season. All right. Great show. Fantastic show, my friend. But it is time to wrap up this episode of Cottage Talk. We both have huge smiles on our faces, so it's a great way to end the show. But for Max Cohen, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.